1978, a 66-year-old grandfather was in a Sydney suburb of Summer Hill, which is about 5 kilometres outside Sydney CBD, when he was allegedly attacked by two Irish nationals, Christopher McLaughlin and Nathan Kelly, just after midnight, not too far away from quite a large licensed premises, what we call here a leagues club, relating to rugby league. The victim, Paul Tavalatis, passed away following this alleged attack. The two men were arrested at the scene and initially charged with affray. But in recent days, those charges have been upgraded to murder, and they're both due to appear in court in Sydney tomorrow on these much more serious charges.
Our thoughts very much with Paul and his family and his son. In fact, a brief talk to social media to say that, you know, he doesn't blame all Irish people for what it's alleged happened to his father, which I think is incredibly gracious. What is the procedure from here? How quickly, Ben, do the judicial wheels turn in Sydney in these types of cases?
Yes, yes. Well, obviously the murder charge is the most serious charge you can face. So depending on these two men and whether they decide to fight the charges or not, if they do decide to fight the charges, then the process can take anywhere between 18 months to 2 years to go to a full trial in the Supreme Court. Or if they take the option of not fighting the charges, then the process could be over in a couple of months. But in Sydney or New South Wales, you start off in a local court, and any crime that carries more than a two-year sentence has to go to a higher court. So eventually this case, given that it's a murder case, will have to go to the Supreme Court, and they could face a full jury trial. So we've actually got a story in the Telegraph where we've spoken to the family of the victim, who said they believed he might have been sleeping in his car on the night of the attack. We don't know a lot of the circumstances around what happened and what sparked this alleged attack. But like you said, the victim's son has said that the family of the two Irish nationals has contacted them. Mm-hmm. And he is quoted as saying that the families of the two boys, they'll be going through a lot of hardship as well, given they're just in their 20s.
That's remarkable, given what that family is going through, that he would sort of have time and space to consider what other families are going through. Now, obviously, it's only allegations against these two men at this point, but do we have an idea if in other cases, you know, what kind of term a murder conviction carries in Sydney, Australia more generally, and if it's people from outside of Australia, do they serve time within the country or do they serve time back in their home country? Do we have precedent in that regard, Ben?
Look, our judicial system does not take, you know, too much note of where someone's from. So if these men are eventually convicted of this crime, they'll serve their time here in a New South Wales prison, and then more than likely will probably, you know, be deported at the end of that period. But again, this is all speculation. And it's really hard to say what sort of possible sentence these sort of cases carry. It really depends on the circumstance of the crime, and I guess more particularly if they actually found guilty or not. So again, in New South Wales, if you plead guilty to a crime, you actually get a 25% discount in your sentence. So that would come into play if that was to happen. But to be honest, it's very, very early days. We don't know a lot of detail exactly what happened, what was the interaction that led to this altercation, which eventually turned fatal. We do understand the victim may have been sleeping in his car, and so these two men may have happened upon him in that course, or they may have met earlier on in the evening. It's really hard to say, and it's really very difficult for me to speculate until it's gone through the full the full court case.
And Ben, how frequent or otherwise are these types of crimes?
Well, I guess we're not immune to violence like many other parts of the world. But I mean, in terms of this sort of crime, a stranger allegedly being set upon by two men is not very common. In terms of people from the British Isles being involved in these sort of incidents, we did have a more recent incident where an English national allegedly assaulted the captain of the rugby sevens team here in Sydney. So it's not a too uncommon occurrence for Irish or British nationals to find themselves before the courts, obviously, because we have a fairly relatively high proportion of them here on holiday or working or as residents.
And may I ask, it's a kind of an awkward question to ask, but what is the general attitude to Irish people living and working in Australia? Would a case like this, I don't know, are there any sort of attitudes that this would feed into that this could be sort of used to further any argument about, I don't know, people coming into the country to work, if you get where I'm coming from, Ben?
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I mean, like I said, they're very much part and parcel of our society here, so I think people wouldn't necessarily pay too much attention to that. I mean, obviously that there may be some stereotypes around alcohol consumption, but I don't know if too many people would take those too seriously. I mean, the fact of where they come from probably doesn't play too much of a factor. In a case like this, there's several cases where, there's this sort of, allegedly random violence from people from all backgrounds. So no, I don't think this case, whilst at the time generated some media interest and has now generated some more, given there's murder charges, there's no one calling up talkback radio here in Sydney demanding that, Irish males live under certain conditions or get sent home. So while it's a fairly shocking and ultimately tragic story, I don't think it's really going to affect people's views of Irish nationals here in Sydney.
And very, very finally, Ben, from yep. the court appearances, albeit them brief, or from anything coming from police or other sources, do we have any indication as to what a defence might be put forward? Like, were there any mitigating circumstances? Or
yeah, look, I mean, I really wouldn't want to speculate on that because I don't know what the defence of these two men is going to be, but obviously there could be a range of circumstances that they could put forward to the court. But yeah, again, it's really too early to tell. I mean, what I could say is the fact that they were initially charged with a fray as opposed to murder indicates that something's happened between then and now that the police believe it was a more premeditated action, which is why the charges have been upgraded. This happened more than a week ago, so there may be new evidence that's come to light which indicates that what police will be alleging has happened is wasn't just wasn't spontaneous.
Okay, Ben McClellan, thank you very much for taking the call today. Thank you.